even wonder. You know. No, that
recorded.
You know, I know my friends had asked me, like, man, forget that I would have. Then I thought, because I know guys who've been in that situation. I'm a teacher as well, and I'm not sure what you know about teachers, but teachers aren't like, hey, how you doing? When the clock strikes 2:30 or 3 and hit the happy hour, you're a whole different day.
Okay.
And with me, you know, I had to look at it like that. Now, ultimately, that's part of what broke us up, because it was like, you know, I can't get criticized. I'm getting criticized for doing my job. But I did it well, you know. Was I flirting? No, I smiled. What's the sense of me being all mean trying to talk somebody about their academic careers, you know? I had a nice smile, you know. Don't fault me for that. But, you know, you know, that's the way I look at it, and that's the way, you know, married or single, I would look at it like that way, because you have to look at, okay, is it worth risking your job? And a real good friend of mine, he does it. You know, he ain't married, but still, I'm like, yo, that's dangerous, you know, but he does it. He's been doing it for years, where, I mean, clients, people who work right with him, you know, but I guess when you're single and you don't care, I guess you'll do that. He's been doing it for years. I guess he's doing, I guess, something right in his mind. So that's all you can leave it at.
Okay.
Good words.
Somebody on Siri speaker.
I think we just found the speaker.
Yeah. Hey, D, what I want to say is, D, do you like the attention from the ladies?
Oh, don't get me wrong. I did. I to tell you the truth, that was the best job I ever had. I look forward to coming to work.
That is right.
But, you know, I left ultimately because it wasn't paying. You know, I'm thinking, man, I'm not getting paid this much.
But it had different benefits, sound like.
Right.
You were able to interact with all these ladies.
but it helped me on my people skills, because, you know, I came across a lot of different types of females, young, old, you know, different groups and all that, where I've been, you know, accustomed to that being a military brat. But it's different when you have to sit down there and talk to them one-on-one and be professional when you know they're flirting. Something, you know it, and you have to sit there and try to put things in perspective. And there's a way that you do it without insulting their flirtiness, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So no one wants to be insulted, but at the same time, you want to say, wow, I've tried, but I can see he's being professional. And, you know, some assumed I was gay, too. So, you know, you always got those. Oh, he's gay. He passed this up.
I don't think I ever experienced that. I say that I think probably I've experienced where I've worked with a female that was, I mean, drop dead gorgeous, and you know I'm like, you know, I didn't take the number or anything like that, but you know I had something great at home, so I didn't really pay her any attention, and it seemed like that only made her attracted to me more. You know, it was like this is weird. Because I wasn't giving her all the attention that every other dude, married, not married, old, young. Because she's an attractive lady. And I wasn't giving her that, and I worked right beside her. And it got kind of awkward, because it seemed like that she was attracted to me. And for me doing the opposite, where I wasn't falling all over myself over her like every other dude that came in. You know, I was just cool around her, you know, because I was like, you know, I got steak at home, you know. Why take ground beef when you got steak at home, you know. So I didn't pay no mind, but all the other dudes was just falling over, drooling, and I'm just cool with it, you know. But what I found is that actually made her more attracted to me. And I was like, this is odd. So maybe it's just me that experienced that one. Not giving her the attention, but yet, you know, it almost is like a competitive thing. It's like a challenge, exactly. Thank you. It's almost like a challenge.
And you had to put in the work.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you pursue, you wouldn't have to put in the work.
Yeah.
you mean by put in work?
Put in work?
Yeah.
It's sort of like you go over and beyond. I'm trying to think how I can put this. All right. For example, my wife, I had to put in work. You know, she laid down the law, and either I abide by the law or I don't. So she said, this is how it is, you like it or you don't. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I said, who do you think she is, right? I said, she know who she's talking to? But I'm like, wow, you know what? I like that, right? I said, that's a challenge. So, I mean, I'm about to put in work. And, you know, people say you put in work for things that you want. And, you know, I wanted her, so I put in work. And we married to this day. And, you know, I had to put in work. She had no problem telling, you know, like I said, she's calling me a hoe. And I was like, why you can't call me a hoe? You know. And we, and, you know, I was getting insulted. Like, hey, no, hey. You know, so it's like I had to prove myself, where I wasn't used to that. You know, I'm just, you know, it's like I was being me, but it's like I had to, like, go over and beyond. And, you know, and I had to put in work. So, you know, I always feel like this, you know, if you didn't put in work for your wife, I guess you was meant to be. You had to put in some work. If you didn't, then, you know, you caught her at the right time. There's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, sometimes you catch people on the rebound, and sometimes you got to put in work.
Mm. Do we? One of the questions was, if your wife had the opportunity to bring your lunch to work, would you tell her yes or no? It's a question.
Repeat that for the group.
The group.
Yeah, repeat that, Tony. They might not have heard.
If your wife had the opportunity to drop off your lunch at work, would you tell her yes? Or would you tell her no?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can bring my lunch anytime, bro.
Yeah. Right? Anyway.
Yeah. If you bring my lunch to me, yeah, that'll be just fine with me.
Now, if she did it, though, I'd be suspecting something. I'm like, okay, something ain't right, because she don't never bring no dang lunch.
She could just be me being nice.
You check it out, man.
Yeah,
No. I'm just saying, sometimes we get in work. Work is our little, sometimes a way, a home away from home. And
right.
It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we don't want to cross that line where this is, you know, I'm going to see you at home. But when I'm here, I'm at work. Because, you know, you got different things going on. So that's why I think it was an honest question. You know what I mean? I mean, we may, you know, we all can say the textbook answer, I want my wife to bring my, of course. But is there anybody that's brave enough to say, nah, man, I want my wife coming to my job?
Well, if you don't let her bring the lunch to work, you can't expect that dinner to be there when you get home.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, there's ways around that. Well, you know, I'm busy. I don't know when I'm going to take lunch. You know, I may have to wait 2 hours to take lunch.
Tony,
I mean, there's
Tony,
ways around it.
Tony,
yeah,
Tony, that
ain't gonna work every
real
time.
Suspicious. That sounds real suspicious. Oh, yeah, I'm going to drop by. And you're like, oh, no, I got a meeting or I got this to do. Don't come by. I mean, I think that would draw suspicion, you know, rather than say, yeah, come on by. You know, but I thought you were getting at the point where if they come to your work and say, you know, Beyonce is your coworker, and they never met her before, but they see it, they're like, wow, you work with Beyonce. Wow, I didn't know that. I mean, they might want to drop by your lunch, you know, more often, just to say, hey, Beyonce, he's mine, you know, just to be seen.
Well, let's flip the script. Let's say she came unannounced. Then what would your response be?
I'd be like, you know, I'd love to see my wife at work, because, I mean, that's
I'm saying knowing that you had, wasn't an obstacle you was dealing with, but, you know, it can be a possible obstacle. You know, it's like, for me, you know, my wife doesn't have the opportunities to everybody I work with. And, you know, because she doesn't get a chance to go there because of where I work at. But if she did, I would say this and so. Now, if she, for instance, a friend of mine had told his wife that, yeah, you know, I work with a bunch of men. And I looked at him like, what man you work with? He said, well, you know, I have to tell her that, so, you know, she wouldn't pop up. And I'm thinking to myself,
Uh-oh.
I might not have that.
I'm thinking to myself, okay, you just set yourself up. So what happens? His wife shows up unexpectedly.
Wow.
He had a little holiday party, whatever. And he gets up. Oh, you left it. Because he had left the dish at the house. He's supposed to brought something from potluck. He left it. So she brought it. And you know, you're looking around, and you could see the look on her face. See, I recognized the look. Nobody else did.
Wow.
And I know the conversation.
But why did he lie about it, working with ladies? I mean, it's
because I'm assuming that there was somebody in there he,
mm-hmm.
you know, was aggressively speaking or vice versa.
Or it could have been the fact that he never really disclosed the fact that he was even married. You know,
yeah, and she had that look on her face like, okay, if you work nothing but men, these are some feminine-looking men. And I could, you know, put like this. Brother did not say nothing the next day. And I finally said, the following day, I said, so what's up, man? He said, man, she ain't spoken to me all day. I said, well, you the dumb, told her you work with nothing but men. I just say I work with people. You want to meet them, come up there. You ain't got nothing to hide, unless you do. And I said, oh, and then I look. I said, well, see, that's where you messed up. He said, well, we ain't doing that. We just talk. I said, hey, you messed up when you said nothing but men.
So, D, would you be upset if your wife popped up on you one day? If she took off? If she took off
she
work?
Did what?
Just if she took off of work and just surprised you with lunch, would you be, you know, unannounced, would you be upset with that?
Nah, I used to actually tell you the truth. I used to love our work schedule that we had because we'd get off around the same time. So we'd rush home.
Yeah.
So,
that's different. That's different.
I'd be like, look, I'm getting off early. You know, like if I know I get off early. I'll stop by her job. I've done it before. You know, I have to stop by there unannounced. I always stop unannounced.
Yeah, I don't know about Tom, but I got married to be with my wife. I love my wife to stop by work sometime and just drop in. I got no problem with that at all. I got nothing to hide.
I'm with you, Andrew.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of us are, but, you know, I'm trying to find the one that's going to say something. That's what I'm trying to find. I'm trying to find that guy. I'm trying to find that guy on the phone that's going to be like, nope, nope, nope. Don't want my wife dropping by.
I think if I did have a situation where I probably would be uncomfortable, like if I'm going to happy hour with everybody from my job and all of a sudden she pops up, I'm like, what the? You know, because at that point, everybody's not going to be themselves.
Right.
You know, because even within the work, you know, everyone talks a different talk and all this other stuff. And
now
you know, you keep that amongst your coworkers. That's the way I look at it. You keep it amongst your coworkers. I don't know what y'all talk about between y'all.
You're driving down that street
and
now, brother. Keep going.
Why sometimes, to be honest, she'll tell you, I really don't like to go out sometimes when she goes out with her coworkers. That's them. And, you know, they have a bond that they've developed. And if I'm invited, I don't want to be the only one there from the outside because I feel uncomfortable. You know, that's just me.
So,
that's how I am.
So, and I'm glad you said what you said because you're driving down my street right now. So basically what you're saying is even a happy hour setting, you said because people act differently. So do we act differently as married men at the workplace than we do as married men at home?
Well, to some degree, I'll say yes and no. I pretty much act the same, but, you know, it's kind of hard to say. It depends on the person. You know, there's sort of like those, what you call them, it's really not a flirt. Like, they may be talking about a relationship. And I say, well, hey, you better get your stuff ready, you know. Like, but I'm not really talking, implying that it's me. I'm saying do what you got to do, do whatever you got to do. Now, my wife happened to came in and said, why are you talking to her like that? I said, okay, this is between me and her, you know. It ain't got nothing to do with us. It's just something that I'm relating to her about her man. Ooh, I'm tired. Why are you tired? You know, you know, it's like one of them conversations. I said, you tired? Well, you should have got some sleep last night. What were you doing last night? You know, it's like one of those things where they develop a friendship with you. But where you can talk about it without actually getting too deep into it. It's almost like you assume the same thing. Even with my friends from the military, you know, you would think the military's cut and dry. Oh, no. When it's all of us together, oh, man, they're tripping. As soon as the general or the Fulberg comes in, we tone it down. And that's the way I look at it. It's what happens in the workplace. But, you know, you got to know who you can speak to. You can't speak to everyone like that because they're going to take it a different way.
Okay, well, we're not talking about, like borderline sexual harassment. We just talking
about...
No,
not that. Not that. Just general conversation. That, you know, things that you just wouldn't expect one to say.
Yeah. There's certain things you can say to certain people on the job. There's certain things you don't say. And you try not to cross that line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like for instance, like, I know when I used to go to Happy Hours, you know, there was a lot of married couples in there. And they would be at the table and like, what you doing tonight, Terry? You know, I'm chilling. What you doing tonight? Psh, man, my man went out. I ain't doing nothing. That's me, ain't doing nothing. Oh, he don't want this tonight. You know, stuff like that. You know. Now, if my wife, you know, if I was married at the time and my wife was sitting at the table, she'd be like, what the, you know, why is she telling him? You know, it's like, so why even get into all that? And that's why I said, like, when you go to certain hat, you know, unless you already made it understood, look, my friend's going to say what comes out of her mouth. And if you don't like it, pride don't need to come to the happy hour. You know, because she's going to be her.
Right.
You know. And, you know, I probably get like that sometimes, too. I was like, you know what, I don't want to come. Because certain things I just don't really care to hear. Because I don't hear them every day. If my wife, you know, hears this stuff every day, and she's used to it, and it's all in fun, then let that be your fun. Because I ain't really trying.
Go ahead.
Because, you know, there's just some things, you know, I'm not really trying to be part of. I don't need to be part of everything. Because, you know, I always believe that my wife should have a life, and I should have a life. Meaning that she has a group of friends that she's been friends with for I don't know how long. And they've developed a bond. So if they have that girls' night out, it's called girls' night out. It's not called, hey, you want to come? No, it's girls' night out. Go out. That's the way I look at it. Go out. Have fun. Just call me. Let me know that you're coming home or you're safe. So, you know, because usually I'll be here anyways. I'm watching kids. So, you know, no biggie.
So let me know. Let me know that you're coming home. Well, you know she's coming home.
Yeah, let me rephrase that. Let me know what time it's even. I know you're coming home. All right, she better come home.
Yeah.
I throw it right out. I think what it makes it easier for me, you know, as far as being in the workplace and doing everything, as far as, you know, my subordinates and my coworkers, is the fact that I can actually bring home a situation that happened at work and actually talk to my wife and get some insight on it. I think that's what, you know, she married a personable person. So I'm the kind of person that I involve a lot of life situations. I involve a lot of advice. I involve a lot of listening. And male or female, I treat everybody basically the same. I'm a joking kind of person. I love laughter. So whenever I'm at work, it's a happy time for me. And I try to make everybody else around me, you know, in that same kind of mood, because everything gets done more efficiently if that setting is that way. So, you know, to have her show up, you know what I mean? And I had this conversation with her earlier about a female coworker who, you know, implied, you know, I don't know if she was kind of talking about my persona or how I act around people. She said, you just walk around here like everybody wants you. And I said, excuse me? And I asked to repeat it, you know, repeat herself, and she did. And I said,
that was one of your employees?
I'm sorry?
That was one of your employees?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I said, so, you know, kind of pulled it to the side, and I said, so explain to me, how do I look? And she said, I don't know, it's just, you know, just your way about you. I said, is it my personality? Is it that I get along with everybody? Is it that I talk to everybody? I said, please tell me what it is. She said, I don't know. I said, well, I don't feel that you have the right to even say that to me if you don't know what you're talking about. And you know, I actually came back, you know, and I just talked to my wife about it not even 2 hours ago. And, you know, just to kind of get it out there, you know what I mean? One, it makes me feel comfortable with the fact that I can actually talk to her about it. And then we can say, okay, well, maybe she's like this, or why do you think she's like that, you know, as opposed to not saying anything at all. You know what I mean? I think that communication factor, you know, plays a lot in it. You know what I mean? That way you don't have to worry about your wife stopping by the job unannounced. You know what I'm saying? I work at a place where she can come where she wants because she can shop at this place. You know what I mean? So I could be, you know, on the other side of the facility, and she would be in there, and she would actually be interacting with my subordinates. And I would never even know about it unless I came out. You know what I mean? So just to know that, you know what I mean, the same way that I am at the house is the same way that I can be at work. It kind of just makes it easier for me. You know what I'm saying? I don't try to change up my ways. I don't try to be, you know, something different, you know, away from the house. Because if I lose that, you figure you're head of the household. You know what I mean? I'm the man. I got to be the head of these people at my job also. You know what I mean? Whether it's instilling, you know, life lessons into my kids or instilling life lessons in my subordinates. Because I admit I got subordinates who don't know their way yet. They don't have any guidance. You know, they treat it like a McDonald's job. Well, you can fire me if you want to. I'll find something else. You know what I mean? But that's what I'm not trying to build that. Like I said, it goes from male to female. So, you know, I just think it's easier for me to be the same person that I am leaving the house and going to work. You know what I mean? That way I don't have to sugarcoat nothing for anybody, you know, including my wife. I don't have to hide anything from her. I don't have to, you know, shave anything off of an experience or a situation. I can just, you know, be real about it. And if it comes to deep conversation, you know, and she says, well, you know, you are kind of like too nice. You know, she used that term, too nice sometimes. And I'm like, well, what's too nice? I said, I don't understand that. You know, I really don't understand the too nice thing. I'm just that personable person. You know, I go out of my way to do things for people. I know my boundaries. I never cross those boundaries. But I can't consider myself too nice. I'm just me. So.
Good work.
That's good.
And,
how y'all doing, man?
Good. And that's, oh, go ahead. You got something to say, go ahead.
Oh, no, this is Tony. How y'all doing?
Pretty good, T.
About the job thing, I believe that, you know, a wife should pretty much be able to go wherever she wants, wherever her man is, you know. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be a problem, especially if you're doing the right thing and representing your wife like you're supposed to be. You know, if she pop up, she pop up. If you're going to happy hour and she pop up and, you know, whatever happens, the thing that boils down to it is that she comes first.
But can it cause conflict? And the reason why I asked that question about the conflict.
It can probably cause conflict if you up there playing around or doing something that you ain't got no business doing.
Well, you're right. But the gentleman Bino said earlier, he drove the bus and women would slip him phone numbers. He would take the phone numbers and probably throw them away. And then and then he said that he was also extremely true to his wife. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So you see, so the workplace could be, okay, now you've got, and the gentleman just said he's got subordinates. So we have to act a certain way at work, especially when we have female coworkers, whether we're married or not. And I'm not saying that this is a prerequisite, but you have to be smooth, you got to be cordial, you got to be all these things. You see what I'm saying? And just like the gentleman just said, your wife may come, pop up, and see you being a little cordial and may say, well, like he said, that's a little too nice. Why are you so nice to her?
Yeah, I agree. But the thing about when you said he take the number and throw it away, number one, he shouldn't take the number.
Yeah, we kind of all agreed on that one, too. But go ahead.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Once you take the number, you know, that just opened a whole new door to her. Like, okay, he got my number, so he's interested.
Yeah, but see, he was a bus driver, so he may not ever see that person again. So for him, I mean, the psyche is, okay, yeah, whatever, go ahead, keep it moving. keep my bus line moving, get on, get in. You know what I mean? It's not like I guess the coworker and then that would be the customer, two different people. But let's just keep going. Well, go ahead.
You know, say if it was the other way around, if our wives was the bus driver and she took the number.
I've had my wife do that.
We would call that disrespectful.
Yes and no. I've had my wife do that. She said, yeah, this guy was trying to talk to me. I took the number just so I could leave. You see what I'm saying? Some women will do that. They'll take. How many times have a woman, you've given your number prior to being married to a woman, she take your number, and then you never hear from her, ever.
Wow.
Sometimes they'll take your number, yeah, okay, whatever, just so you don't, so they don't seem stuck up to you. And then there's no conflict, and they keep it moving.
Well, can I add this on to what I was just speaking a few minutes ago?
Yeah.
Like I said, I brought that to my attention, you know, of the conversation that I had with my subordinate to my wife. Now, my wife is a teacher, and she interacts with, you know, parents on the daily. She interacts with, you know, married parents. She interacts with single parents. She had a gentleman come in, an aspiring singer. This dude actually sung to my wife in the school.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
You know what I mean?
What was he singing for? Why was he singing?
I don't know. You know what I mean? And she told me.
At a parent-teacher meeting, why is he singing? Why is he breaking
exactly.
out his song? That's a problem.
You know, yeah, it is. And I said, you know, I met him. You know what I mean? It was after the fact, and I met him, and I said, you know, sometimes in a joke is a little bit of truth. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I trust my wife. Don't get me wrong. I do. You know, he just said that he wanted to try to be on American Idol. You know, and my wife is to that point where I told her before, she's too nice also. She may see an old friend, you know, or a guy that she talked to in high school, she may give him a hug. I'm like, no, you giving a guy a hug, you know, that's too nice. How do you consider me too nice if that's what you do? My wife's the kind of person, she don't like to displease people. You know what I mean? She's not an ignorant person. She's not a mean person. She's the most polite woman you'd ever want to meet. Sometimes that becomes a disadvantage for a lot of other people. You know what I'm saying? But,
yeah, and I just break in there on that one. I mean, fellas, do y'all think that, you know, I mean, say you do, you know, see your coworker out or whatever, or your wife comes to the job or whatever the case may be, and should there be a hug between you and a female coworker? Or is that over the line? At any point, should there be a hug?
Go ahead. I think it's over the line.
What
a thing.
Go ahead.
It's over the line if you don't.
But that's a borderline question, because I work in an environment where there are 85%, you know, women and, you know, the rest guys. And all of the women are from different areas. Some are Spanish, some are Filipino, African, every nationality you could possibly imagine. So a lot of times it's some of the people's custom. That's what they do. They hug you and they kiss you on the cheek. You know what I mean? A lot of them. And it's not my custom, but that's something that they do. So I find that a lot where I work at. And to be totally honest with you, somebody that's just been friendly and somebody that I've known over the little bit of time that I've been there said they were leaving and they gave me the number, but I didn't accept it. But what I'm saying is it's just a lot of women there, and that's what they do. And they're just very friendly. And I guess it all depends on where you are.
Yeah, and honestly, to be honest, you know, if you really think about it, it sounds like everybody that's on this call are, you know, intelligent and well-respected and professional, that you can know the difference between that intimate, not acceptable hug and a professional hug.
I
honestly believe that, you know, we can sit on here all day and say, well, you know what, we may think that's disrespectful, man. I would not allow, you know, my wife to go and just hug a man, you know, that I have never seen before. But you don't know if that was a colleague or, you know, like I said, I mean, she's a teacher. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that you have to know. You have to know your wife. You have to know your spouse. And you know the difference between a professional hug and one of those intimate hugs. You know. I mean, along with women's intuition, a man has that intuition also.
But I think I know my wife. See, I know my wife. My wife is a hugger, right? And she hugs people all good time. I mean, some guy came by trying to cut the grass. She hugged him one day. I mean, I'm being honest with you. And you know, I know my wife. I know her. There's a security level with me that something like that doesn't affect me because I know her. So it all depends on where you are.
Good words. So, and that makes sense.
It doesn't affect me because, see, it's like this. It's almost like you're trying to control who your wife is. You know, if that's her personality and that's who she is, okay, if you're trying to change who she is, that's where conflict comes in.
Yeah. So, and I don't know who's on the call. I know some of the people on the call, and I know
but
we're pretty
Brian,
much.
It's Brian talking right now, man.
Oh, yeah, my man. But we, and the reason why I say that is because let's talk about the temptation at the workplace. I want to just change it a little bit. Because we're talking about we love our wives, we want our wives, you know, to be with us all the time. Yeah, we know that. We get that. Let's talk about the temptation. The temptation exists in the workplace. I believe it does for all of us, even though some of us can lick it. But there's still a certain amount of temptation where at some point in the day we have to stop and say, I love my wife. I love my wife.
Can I say something about that?
Yes, sir.
Now, here's another scenario, right? And I'm not trying to talk you guys. But here's another scenario. I work in a building, and there are a lot of nurses and nurses' aides and RNs and you name it. It's just a lot of professional people there. And also, they have an indoor pool. And a young lady walked up to me one day, gave me a phone number. She's Polish. Gorgeous as can be. Okay. Gave me the number, man. I had to throw it away as soon as I walked out the door because temptation could have creeped in, man. In my mind, if I wasn't married and single, I would have hit it.
Yeah, I know that's right.
That's right there. I want y'all to listen.
That's right there.
See, I was waiting for him to get on because that right there is what I'm talking about. It exists.
Yes.
We could be married to death and it exists.
Yes, sir.
Because there's some fine women at the workplace. I don't know if any of y'all work on K Street, D.C. in the summertime. When you walk, I don't understand. I don't know if y'all do that. But that right there is a place where there's temptation all over the place in D.C.
I used to work on N Street.
And I know for me, this is Derek, for me, you know, especially in the early part of my teaching career, there's really not a lot of black males. But in the position that I have, I was one of two in the entire county. And then there was maybe five or six males. Everybody else was females. And you figured, let's say, we're getting a round number, there's 100. So out of 100, there's maybe 2-3 black males, maybe 5 or 6 males. Everybody else is women. So out of that women, you can assume 30%. Or hot to try, because, you know, the other one's old, whatever. But whenever you're in those meetings, you know, especially when it's time to eat lunch, that's when everybody wants to talk. And you're sitting there like, wow, oh, I'm so glad I'm married. And, you know, but that's where the temptation is. But at the same time, for the same perspective, you know, this is my job. Now, if I was single, whole different story. And that's how I was when I first started teaching. Which is probably why my wife's calling me Hope.
And see, I want to speak on that too, because, like I said, I have female subordinates and I have female leaders over top of me. And, you know, where I'm at and in the position that I am in, I'm actually the only leader with that title that has a college degree, which actually becomes more enticing to females. And being in that position and everything, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, you got to know your boundaries, but it is there, you know, and I come in, you know, I'm ahead of a group of people, you know, maybe 20, 25 to 30 people that don't dress like me. You know, I'm walking in a place where, you know, I still have grown men who still act like kids, who still can't put a belt on, who think it's still, you know, kind of cool to wear that do-rag coming in the workplace. But when I come in, you know,
I'm dressed how I'm supposed to be. I'm dressed for that professional day.
So your pants not on the ground.
My pants not on the ground. Exactly. So it's one of those things that becomes enticing for women, which actually brings on that temptation. You know what I mean? When you see somebody who, you know, I mean, let's be real, doesn't expect, you know, a person like me to come in and to have that college degree and about to get his master's and everything like that. It's not an everything day thing that you see. You know what I mean? So I go in the workplace and they look at me and, you know, being as professional as I am, it gets thrown at me. It does get thrown at me. It gets thrown at me by people at work and the people that visit the work, consumers, customers, guests, whatever. It does get thrown. And like I said, you just have to, it's one of those things that you got to say, you know what, I'm putting in my 8. I got to get on the road. I got to get to the house.
Now, let's put like a tweak in. Has anybody ever, like, say, went on a business trip or anything like that where the temptation probably is far more greater than his workplace because, you know, I'm only here for 2-3 days. So,
yeah.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that, you know, every conference that I go to, I'm generally one of few. And, you know, with men, especially black men, you know, you don't look to see really how many sets are there. You look to see how many fine women are there. And it's a temptation. You look, hey, she fine, you know. And especially if you're there by yourself. If you're there by yourself, then who you going to hang with? You going to hang by yourself in the hotel room, or you going to hang with somebody that has something in common? You know, hopefully you know somebody who's in the area. But I know myself, I went to a conference in Boise, Idaho. And I don't know if anybody ever went to Boise, Idaho.
Yep.
Not too many brothers unless they playing for Boise State.
That's it. That's all.
That's it. And that's what they thought I was doing. So that kind of helped.
Did.
That kind of helped me.
Okay.
This was prior to being married, but what I'm saying, if I'd been married, it'd been I don't know what I did take true. But the fact that I wasn't married, I got everything that I wanted. Down to food. You know, they thought I was a recruit. I took it.
So let me ask you a question. In a situation like that, does the Jamaican philosophy come into play? What happens in Jamaica stays in Jamaica.
Pretty much.
So when you're on that business trip, what happens on this business trip stays on this business trip.
Man, that can get you in trouble. I've been there.
Get you in trouble, man. That thing.
That's a tough one.
I'm saying good or bad. I'm saying just you could have been there and did nothing. Which in most, you know, myself, I was single. But I've been away, you know, when I even went to, you know, Afghanistan, you know, it's hard. But you got to keep things in perspective. And I know brothers was out there doing it. You know, it's funny where, you know, the military tells you that you can't have sex. You can't have no condoms. You can't do all this. But yet, when you go to the store, they got condoms. They got all, I'm thinking, you can't do all this. Why are you selling it? But
you know, I speak to that too. I'll say that the temptation probably increases for both parties, women and men. You know, when you talk about business trips, you know, because I've heard some stories where, you know, women, I mean, they're just the nicest and, you know, just average women, but they go away from home and they wild. I mean, they're wild. I mean, they turn into a different chick, and then, you know, when the conference is over, they're back to being, oh, hey, how you doing? I mean, it's like, but last week you was girls gone wild. What is the problem? I don't understand that, you know, but I guess it's just, you know, some people ain't been away from home. You know, they just turn it out, you know.
Well, there's a couple, they ain't getting it from home. One, two.
Maybe.
There's a couple conferences that I know within my profession that people go to every year, and that's when they get together. That's it's certain conferences they hit up, and you just know that, oh, those two are going to get together, and they're going to hang out, and they're going to do that thing at this conference. And that's what they do, like, once a year. That's when they get together.
Wow.
You know, and they got their lives and children and marriages and stuff back where they're from, but that's just what they do. I tell you one thing, those conferences are difficult. I'm not going to lie to you about that one, because I done been hemmed up on a couple conferences, you know, and it's a type of thing where you just get away, and for whatever reason, the honesty of the situation is everything that is a part of your everyday reality is gone at that moment. I mean, you got it mentally, yes. You got it spiritually. You carrying it. But that day-to-day is not there. You're not going back and unlocking the keys of your house or pushing the garage open on your garage. You're opening a hotel room door. It's a new room. It's a new field. You get to try out the rooms, you know. You down at the bar, you know. You walking around the town. You in your suit during the day, but then you bringing your clothes to go out at night, you know. It's like, wow. You know, it's a whole other feel. It's almost like you get to play dress up or something. You changing your personality. You're being somebody different, and that's powerful. I'm telling you. And the thing about it is, as it was mentioned earlier, it's not just the guys. It's the oh my goodness, the women. Yeah. It's out of control, and it's not so much. And like I said many times before on this call, my greatest battle is choice. I can choose to go back to my hotel room, and I can sit there and review notes and maybe get prepared for the next day. Or I could go come in, take that shower, take this suit out, get my nice jeans on, get my Clark Wallabies on and all that, get the nice button up on, and I can go down to the happy hour. You know, everybody down there. Why can't I go down there? You know, oh, they're going to catch a cab and you're going downtown? Oh, bam, I don't know you, but I'll get in the cab. And, you know, I'm going to go out there and have myself a good time and hopefully know when to shut it down. Wow. Hopefully know when to shut it down.
Now, also,
you know?
So that discipline of saying, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Because I've been to the real estate conferences, and I've actually had some real estate colleagues, you know, a desk behind me lose everything they own on a weekend decision. And I learned, you know what I mean? I live by, you know, experiences of other people. That's how I've learned to live. You know what I mean? I don't drink. I don't smoke. You know what I mean? Because I've seen what they can do. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you take that, you know what I'm saying? You can go to happy hour, you know what I'm saying? And you can get your little bit of drink on. But you know that once you catch that flight to get back to your spot, it's reality. So, you know what I mean? Some things like that, you really can't let it affect your judgment because you really got to think long term. And I mean, let's keep it real. Like, you know, I mean, some brothers that actually go on these conferences really don't know how to keep things concealed as well. You know
Listen,
what I mean?
I would like to say something if y'all don't mind.
Yeah.
I'll just listen to what y'all were saying about, you know, going on these conferences and doing these different things. But I don't know whether y'all heard this before, but what you do in the night comes to the light. Just like Tiger Woods, he thought that maybe, I'm Tiger Woods, I got $1 billion, I can do anything I wanted to. But look what happened to him. It came to light. And all the women that he was with, he thought, that, you know, it's airtight, you know, nobody will never find out about this. Eventually, you will get caught. You keep it up, you will get caught.
The crazy thing about that, and I like the Tiger Woods example and all the examples out there, men and stuff. It's like no one honestly believes that they will not get caught. And I'm speaking from experience. I really think that at some point. I mean, he's not stupid. There's no way that he would be a billionaire if he was dumb. There's no way.
Tiger was a sheltered brother. He's not with us. I think he started the game late. No, I'm being quite serious. Because I knew somebody who went to Stanford, and I was like, how was he when he was in school? He said he was dorky. He didn't really have no game. And all of a sudden, you get a little money, you get a little fame, you get a little body, and you think about it. He never was taught the game. Now, I'm not saying it's a game, but what I'm saying is that there's certain things that you do and you don't do. And he broke a lot of codes, you know. There's like these unwritten rules, and whether married or not married, you know. Because you know, I think if you're gonna do that, and I don't condone it, but if you're gonna do that, you need to do it when you're single first. Because if you and he never did.
Yeah. But only thing I was just saying if you know you're going to these conferences and you're doing, you know, you're having a nice time and you decide you want to step out, you know, on your wife or significant other, I'm just saying like this, eventually, if you keep on doing it, eventually you will get caught. I mean, I'm a firm believer of that, and I think if you do wrong, you're going to have to pay the price for doing wrong eventually. That's what I believe. I don't know about the panel.
I would just say with this whole topic of the conferences, the temptation is definitely there. The conferences are a rough spot.
Yeah, and I'd flip it around to say, you know, what if your wife has an annual conference that she's going to?
She's not going.
Oh man, but what I was gonna say is, what if she, you know, like you say, you know, they have these, you know, your coworkers are pretty much getting together. You know, that's the time where, you know, they get it in and they go back to their regular lives. I mean, what in the world would you do if your wife, you found out your wife was going on a conference and getting with, you know, some dude on an annual basis?
Right.
I mean, and why I bring that thought up, fellas, is that that's the thought that goes through my mind. It's like, if the shoe was on the other foot, would I appreciate my wife, you know, having these thoughts and, you know, doing this stuff? No. So, you know, I don't, you know, I travel all the time, and I just go to my hotel room, you know, like my man was saying, I don't drink, I don't smoke. So they, yeah, you want to come to happy hour? Nope. I'm going to my room. I want to talk to my wife and kids, and I'm going to sleep. And they're like, oh, yeah, we don't want to hang out. I'd rather go to my room and talk to my family and, you know, just wind. That's how I wind down. So, I mean, I wind down different than you do. It's not that I don't want to hang out, you know, whatever, but it's just I don't want to do that, you know. So, and they look at me kind of funny, but now that we travel so much, they don't even ask me to go out anymore. They just like, oh, yeah, Rodney's going to bed. I'm like, yep, going to call the fam, check in on them, say goodnight, and it's done. You know, I'm going to sleep.
And like I said before, you got to look at everybody. You know, everything is starting to just come out about, you know, all these different celebrities and, you know what I'm saying, and them playing the games for so long. But the end result is they get caught. They get caught. Kobe Bryant, my man, get caught. And then the next thing he did, and you see how remorseful he was, after he got caught, he's on national television crying at the press conference, explaining his mistakes.
Yeah.
Now he took 5 minutes to basically almost screw up a lifetime. So it's all, like I was saying before, you know what I mean? You got to take that flight back home. If you love your family that much, just like I get after my 8 hours, I'm in the whip and I'm going back to the house.
And the way communication is right now, you got a photo that'll be out there or hey, yeah, I had fun with such and such this past weekend at the conference. He was the man on Facebook, and it gets to your wife. And,
you know, another example is Kwame Kilpatrick. He was texting his aide or whatever the female was. They went through his texting records. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you got to learn from the experience of other people, man. You know what I mean? From the top of the chart to the bottom to the poorest man. You know what I mean? You're human. If it's going to happen, like my man said, you're going to get caught. Nobody's exempt from not being caught. You're going to get caught.
Good evening. How you brothers doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, what's up, brother?
All right. I'm enjoying your conversation as always. This is Jerome. I work with Patrice.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to tell you, in Proverbs is a verse in Proverbs that says, how can a man play with fire in his bosom and expect not to get burned? So some things you can't play with, you got to leave alone. It's just a matter of time. And I do believe that God gives you time and gives you opportunity to straighten up your ways and the things that you're doing wrong, and you think you're doing it undercover. And over a period of time, if you don't change your ways, I think he will pull the sheet off you and expose you. And that's what we're seeing today. A lot of people have done things, and they thought over a period of time that they were going to be able to get away with it. And God has given them time enough to, like he does with all of us, to turn things around and repent and try to do better. But sometimes we just don't want to listen. And then if you don't want to listen, he's going to expose you. He's going to pull the sheet off you. He's going to show your nakedness. And when that happens, it not only is hurtful for you, and it's hurtful for your family. So I just want to inject that.
So basically what you're trying to say is that sin is only good for a season. It'll thrill you, then it'll kill you, right?
That's right. It only lasts for a moment.
A fleeting
word. Good word. I want to throw a monkey wrench in. I'm a little late for this monkey wrench, but I want to throw a monkey wrench. And the monkey wrench is this. long time ago when I was single, I used to go to the clubs or whatever. And guys would tell me that the brothers with the married, with the wedding ring on their finger would get the most play. And I could never understand that.
True.
The monkey wrench that I want to throw out there is a question. Does the married man at the workplace have an X on his chest?
Yeah. Of course.
Yes.
Anybody want to elaborate on it?
I do.
I should have said why. I'm sorry. I should have said why, because we know he does, but why does he have it?
Because
you got to
go. And I
can
actually speak on that because I actually, I had one of my, you know, this guy, he was always asking me, how come everybody is always so talkative to me? How come everybody can just come up and conversate with me? How is it so easy that the female coworkers can come and smile in my face and have a good conversation? And he said, well, you know what? I'm going to tell you what it is. He says, because you're married. And I just sat back and I just looked at him. And I had to, you know what I mean? I had to, like, kind of analyze what he was thinking. And I'm like, well, I don't put myself out there, you know what I mean, and saying, you know what, I'm in the workplace, I'm away from my wife, you know what I mean, what we do here stays here, you know what I'm saying? I don't put myself out there like that. But I never really looked into it, you know what I'm saying?
But you do put yourself out there, and I'm going to tell you why. Because just like you said, you got your degree, you come in, you do your work, you're professional, you look professional, you do the job.
Right.
So right there, they're like, wow, this guy's got his stuff together. And on top of that, you're married, so they know that you're not afraid of commitment. You know, that goes back to what I said earlier. Women, you know, like somebody that's committed, that's doing their thing, and they like the challenge. They're like, I could move his wife out of the picture. Because women are competitive. That's how they are. So that's the whole thing, is that you say you're not putting yourself out there, but to them, you actually are, indirectly, you know, by doing what you're supposed to do, which is, you know, kind of odd. You know, you're doing the right thing, the normal thing. When in our world today, that's abnormal to show up to work on time, dressed up, and doing your thing. You know, that's kind of the exception to the rule nowadays.
And I think the other piece you should look at, because one of my buddies, he was, you know, facing the same dilemma to the point to where he was like, you know what, I think I'm just gonna go up and leave. I said, what you mean leave? He said, I'm just gonna leave her. I said, for her? I said, why would you do that? Well, she understands me, blah, blah, blah. I said, but think about it. I said, if you're willing to leave someone that you married to and known all your life, and this woman stepped in, what do you think that she might do to you?
Mm-hmm.
I said, she knew you was married. She knew you was committed. And you left the commitment for her. What makes you think she won't leave you? He said, wow.
That coworker is not dealing with the kids and the mortgage, the bills and all that stuff. Of course she's going to be great. You know, y'all ain't dealing with the stuff.
I said, you got to look at the hidden agenda. The hidden agenda was for her to advance. Somewhere down the road, she's going to advance. Then on top of that, as Ronnie was just speaking to me about, she also might be looking at the fact that you are handling the kids and the mortgage in the way that you is, and she doesn't have that person in her life.
Exactly.
So,
Don't let a household show up at the workplace.
But can I say something?
Yeah.
Be truthful for you. It's your title and your pay rate. Woman that works with you already know or can estimate how much you make.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you throw in trouble with that,
maybe showing how much you spend.
No.
They might think you got some extra.
They don't care how much you spend. All they care about is
the security,
you know, that he has a good job.
Mm.
Now, what I'm going to do is give him this forbidden fruit.
Good way to put it.
I'm just being honest with you. And the reason why I say this is depending on what job you are. You know, if you're a white collar worker and you go to work with a suit and tie on, or if you go with some slacks and a shirt on, or, you know, they could check and see how presentable you are. And then what they try to do is begin to flirt with you and then see if they can just get conversations and sneak stuff out of you, if you know what I mean. Like, have certain conversations where, you know, relationship will come up. And they try to work their way in that way.
You know, they put some feelers out there, pretty much. They throw some feelers out there to see if you're going to bite.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, Patrice, I just listening to you, and something just came to my mind. We hear about something every year. We think about California. We think about those fires that they have and how those fires, they get so far out of hand that they can't do nothing. To be honest with you, they can't really do nothing with it once those fires get started.
Right.
And that's the same situation here. You know, it takes a little bit of spark to set the whole thing on fire. And, you know, we got to be mindful of that.
Yeah. Patrice, talk some more about that forbidden fruit.
That forbidden fruit is you got to remember, you got wives that are having issues at home. You have divorcees, women there. You have new women who just came out of college that are looking for that
stability,
responsible man. And then you got to look in the African-American community. You only have a few type of men. You have drug dealers, you have gangsters, and you have working men. Well, most women are bred to working men. There are very few, and majority of them are married. And what does a woman always want? They want to feel like they are needed. And here's a man who's taking responsibility of being a head of household to his household. However, they're trying to find cracks in that, see if they can become that other woman. And then that's where the 80-20 rule comes in, because that forbidden fruit is stuck out there. So they come in, they wear these skirts, they give you these certain looks and conversations that you have with you at work. They ask you out for lunch. They email you. They got the IM. And they just ease their way in, just like a snake. And us men, we're just weak. So when we do see the forbidden fruit, we'll flirt back. Just because
wow.
You think we'll do it as a play. However, some men get caught up and end up biting that fruit. Where you have some men who can handle a flirt, and then you have some men who will say, I know where this is going. I'm stopping it right now because I can't afford to lose my job or my family.
Yeah, one thing about temptation is the devil knows your weakness.
That's right.
You know, so I would say that, I mean, I don't get tempted, you know, I don't get tempted that much, you know, on that front, because I don't really deal with that. You know, I mean, it's other ways that, you know, I struggle with as far as temptation goes. But, you know, not on that front, not with the flirty women at work or whatever, or, you know, that kind of thing. So I really don't have them, you know, it's not really an issue for me. You know, like I said, it's other ways, you know, that I struggle and fall to temptation, but, you know, not on that front. But I will tell you, you know, the devil knows what you like, you know, the shape, you know, the height, you know, all of that stuff. And, you know, he'll put it in front of you and, you know, and just, you know, you'd be like, wow, this is nice.
Yeah, he did me once. I mean, look, got me bad, too. Bad. Chick walked in. She was probably, I'm talking about the spitting image of something that I would just, back in the day, fall head over heels for. So bad I had to go outside and call Rodney. That's how bad it was. I said, Rodney, just listen to me and just pray for me right here, right now. I mean, and I knew nothing, but I knew that it was an attack because just the way it was, just the way it went down, man. And I said, why me? You know, why me? This is, you know, why do I have to see this chick right here and right now? And she was actually a client that came to see me. So it was really bad.
You know, and it's not that I was going to have to make a choice or anything like that, but that temptation sometimes, it gets the strongest of us. You know, not saying that we'll make a move, but it will stop you in your tracks for a minute where you're like, man, she is fine.
Yep.
That's good, man. I think, glory be to God, man, that you had a brother that you could call.
Oh, sure. Oh, man.
And you know, I love you're gonna hear me always talk about Proverbs. I love Proverbs, and Proverbs it talks about how iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you can't deal with it. You can't deal with these things by yourself, and that's why it's so good to have this call. You know, brothers need to help brothers.
Yeah.
And during that time, you knew that if you couldn't deal with that by yourself, you had to get away and call and talk to somebody, and you had a brother there that you was able to talk to.
Yeah, and I told him, I said, don't do it. Reconsider.
Yeah, right. Look.
Resubmit.
See, there was never, my obedience is a little different. It's not really about my wife anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, yes, but my commitment first was not to her. So, I mean, and some people know what I'm talking about. So anyway, there was never a chance of anything happening. That'll never happen. But just the fact that I felt as though I had a crack in my armor.
Right. There you go.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm walking around like I got this armor. You know what I'm saying? I'm prayed up and the whole nine. I got my obedience to the Lord, so I'm not going to do anything. Just the fact that my armor was cracked that day shook me up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about, the temptation. My armor was cracked. And I had to reach out and get some help because I was in unfamiliar territory.
There you go.
You see what I'm saying? Nothing was going to happen. But just that feeling, that temptation, sitting there like, wait a minute, this is weird. This ain't not what I've been used to these last 5 years. This is something. He is really taking a cheap shot at me. That's what I felt like.
You saw Satan in action.
In action, taking a cheap shot.
And you recognize it.
Yeah.
But don't you think that was a good thing that you had that feeling, because it lets you know that you're still in the will of God. You know, for the ones that are not tested are the ones that are susceptible to a fall.
Right.
Yeah.
So you should feel good knowing.
Oh yeah.
That he's still tempting you.
Mm-hmm.
You know that you are strong enough to call somebody and say, hey, this is what I'm going through. Because that was my next question to the group. I said, what do you have in place for people that are on this call that are not willing to truthfully come forth and take off the mask and really reveal and talk about the things that they're truly dealing with outside of this arena right here, that if they needed some type of help outside of their circle of friends that they may not feel comfortable talking to? What do you have anything in place here or anybody you can talk to outside of this?
Wow, that's a good question, man.
Talk about, like,
we need that.
A support group type thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, but an on-demand support group.
Yeah, definitely. Because that's
on-demand, not a let's wait till XYZ gets home from work, but no, I need to pick up the phone and I need to, you know what I mean, I need a minute.
just like you need to make that phone call. You know, somebody on this call right now, you know, they're going through. But, you know, they are there saying the right things because they're in the midst of their family and around people that, you know, they can't say these things around. And they really need somebody to talk to bring them through whatever it is. You know, I think that we should start some type of support group outside of this, you know, to even, you know, build each other.
For sure.
Wait a minute, I got to ask a question about something that was just said a while back. Statement was, you know, it was kind of good that you got tempted because then you could see that, you know, you had resources in place to, I guess, get back to being stable or whatever. And those that are untested may be subject
Absolutely.
To falling or being weary. So
Absolutely.
Are you supposed to just throw yourself in some tests every now and then to see where you fall or something or how you handle it? If the tests aren't coming to you, what are you supposed to do? Because I don't necessarily know that I believe, and this is just my mindset. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know if I believe that just because I'm not being tested doesn't mean I'm subject to somebody just taking it all from me or trying to just snatch it from me. I guess what I'm saying is, I mean, maybe my armor is just that tight. I don't know.
Okay, well, see, that's normally where
people fall at, man, when your armor is tight. My armor was tight, too, for a long time, bro. And I was the man, okay? I know the word of God inside out, bro. And nothing you can tell me about the word of God, okay? But yet, I was being tempted, and I fell, bro. You know what I'm saying? I thought my armor was tight, too, okay? And that's what he does. He leads you to a place where you think that, you know, you're not susceptible to the things that you once were susceptible to. It leads you to a place of false insecurity, man. And then what happens is, man, at that one moment, somebody does something that causes you to see something different than you were seeing it before. And let me tell you, man, temptation will come. So to know that you're being tempted is to know that you're still in his will. So if you're not going through temptation, I think that's when you should really check yourself and see if you're not.
So if you're not being tempted, you should put yourself you should go to that conference and put yourself down at the happy hour.
I'm not saying put yourself at the happy hour. What I'm saying is if you're not being tempted.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. If you're not being tempted in some form or fashion with regards to what we're talking about with this conversation, should you then engage in workplace conversations with these women? Should you then go to a conference and be down and going out in downtown and swapping out the clothes and getting in the cab and going out to see if you get tempted and to see how you handle it? Because if it's not coming, I guess I'm just having a hard time really grasping that. If something's not attacking me, why I'm subject to something happening?
Well, I'm telling you like this, okay? It's normally when you're not feeling tests, okay, when you need to check yourself. Believe me, when you need to check yourself. Because I was at that place, okay? And I didn't understand it for a long time. And someone said the same thing to me, but I'm here to tell you that it's good to know that when things confront you, how you would handle it, how you would deal with it, how you would turn to God and would give these people words of wisdom outside of the temptation that's coming at you to know where you are. So if you're not being tested, man, I think that that's when you really need to be careful.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Then again, you might be tested because everybody's weaknesses and strengths are going to be different.
There you go.
Where one person might be affected by a certain situation,
absolutely.
Another person might not even recognize it.
Absolutely.
So don't think that your test, you might already be in a test right now and don't even realize it.
Yeah. Oh, I know I am.
You see what I'm saying? So like everybody's situation is different, and trust me, if you live in the Word of God and if you hear the Word of God, you can rest assured you're not going to study, listen, hear that Word and it not be tested. And even if you don't know the Word of God,
that's right,
you're going to be tested. Just like when you get a driver's license, you're going to have to keep taking the tests, and these tests and these trials are only going to make you stronger. Because even though you may fail, you will learn from your failure, and the next time that situation comes your way, it won't affect you the same way. And that means when it won't affect you the same way, that means that you've passed that test. But once you pass that test, there's another test that's going to be waiting.
Well, can I give an example that
excellent point.
The chaplain Black. The U.S. Senate chaplain, he preached at our church this summer. And he brought up this issue where he wasn't always, you know, fine-tuned, where there was a point in his life where he met this one lady. And with this one lady, he, you know, they were going to meet at happy hour and were going to go to the hotel. And he went to the hotel and he asked the lady for the room, left the lady in the car, went in there, and asked the lady for the room. And she says, we're all booked up. So he says, okay, well, I'll just go to another hotel. On his way out, he says, you know what? Out of 25 years, this is the first time ever we've been booked, all booked, and did not have a room. And now he was a minister, and he's about to step out on his wife. And by the time he got back to the car, he told the lady that you know what, they were all booked up. And she was like, oh, yeah, we just go find another place and get it on. And he says, you know what? She said that out of all the years, 25 years that person's been working there, they never had a time where they had all the rooms booked. So you know what that was his saying that he should not do this. There's times in our life that these temptations pop up, but it gives us an out. And God gives us an out. But sometimes we may not accept that out.
Uh-huh. But like I said, tests and trials come to make you strong.
That's right.
Like I said, when you're not being tested, it's when you really need to check yourself. Because, see, we sometimes get in a place of being comfortable and thinking that everything is all good. And let me tell you, the Bible plainly tells you, so a man thinketh, so is he. So, I mean, you're going through tests and trials every day, no matter how you think about it. I mean, what you see in it. I mean, so a man thinketh, so is he. So the things you think, the things you see, how you see them, how you comment on things that come out your mouth, these things can be tests. It may be the smallest things. It can be something that you're arrogant about or something that you think you're strong about. But he said when you're weak, he is strong. You know, I'm just saying it's a lot of tests and trials that come our way. So if you're not being tested, that's when you need to check yourself.
Right.
The tests and trials come to make you strong, man. And you can't get strong if you don't have a test or a trial.
Right.
And then when
that's what I'm saying. I talk about it,
you ain't been through it.
Right. And then when you think about it, if you ever read the book of Job, when he say, try my servant Job, and what Satan say, he said, I can't do nothing with him because you placed a hedge around him. That means
right.
Even before God had even given, God has to give Satan permission. So even before God had given him the permission.
That's right.
Satan was already trying, and you can rest assured, he's trying us every tomorrow. You can get up and go out there to get in your car. And the thing is, you go out there and you look, and somebody might have sideswiped the car. Your tire might be flat. Well, God wants to know, how are you going to respond to this situation?
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm so glad that you brought up Job, because the flip side to that coin was God said, sure, go ahead and try him. You just can't kill him.
I know him.
Go ahead and try him. You just can't kill him. Just don't kill him. But you can try him. So I mean, think about that. He spoke about Job as being one of the most faithful servants.
Right. That's right.
Well,
how about this now? Well, how about this one? Jesus got tested in the wilderness.
There you go.
I mean, none of us on this phone, I don't think, is Job. You know what I mean? I mean, to be standing to those high, those standards. So. We gonna get tested
for sure.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? We gonna get tested.
It's all about recognizing the test. I think that's what it
is. Thank you.
That's what it is.
Don't think the armor is so thick that you know that you can't be tested because that these things are not going to affect you. But things do affect you. It may, like you said, like someone says, some of the small things may not affect you. That'll affect somebody else.
Right.
But there is something that's going to come your way that tests you every day. And the time that you feel as if you're not being tested is when you need to be careful.
And the thing you need to understand, too, even when you've been tested, and you fail the test, there's a scripture that says a righteous man falls seven times.
He's not talking
about the man who doesn't know God. He's talking about the man who knows God. So his word says, I know the righteous man, he's going to fall. But the thing is, you can get up.
That's right. And righteous means right standing.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
And get right back in right standing.
You know that's right.
And Brian, I agree about what you said earlier about the being tested and knowing that you're still with the Lord, because sometimes you have to embrace the test.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes you have to embrace, you got to welcome and embrace that test.
Come on now.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to take that test and say, yeah, now give me another one.
So what
about sometimes? Because sometimes we're so eager to prove our devotion to the Lord. And it's like, now give me another one. You know what I'm saying? Instead of running from it and saying, oh, man, that was a rough one. Yeah, that was a rough one, but give me another one.
That's right. Why do you think they had to travel around the mountain
all the times that they did, and they only had a short distance to go when they came out of Egypt, right? And then if you notice, only two people went into the promised land, right? These people were tested and tested and tested and tested, okay? Well, there was two that was righteous, but if you read that scripture right after that, with the two that went in, it says when his foot touched the brim of the water, it said the water rolled back to the city of Moses. Read that scripture, study that scripture, and look at it. And if the water rolled back to the city of Moses, all of those things that happened before were washed away, and they started anew. You
Come
see, you're going to be tested, bro.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Yeah. You're going
to
be
tested. You're going to go
to
trial tribulation.
The key... The real key is not to go over the same test.
Hello, say that again.
Right.
That's the key, because it's just like school or anything else, HSAs or whatever it has to be now.
Yeah.
You can fail the test if you want to, but in order to get the diploma, you're going to have to eventually pass it. You can get frustrated. You can say, I'm not going to take it. But if you ever want to get that diploma, you're going to have to keep retaking. You have to stay in third grade 3 years, but you're going to have to pass the test in order to get promoted. And that's the way God stands, just like with Jonah. He had Jonah, you know, Jonah said, well, I'm not taking a test. I'm going on to do what I want to do. And Jonah went on to be the biggest, baddest he wanted to be, but eventually he ended up right where God told him to go in the first place.
You know that's right.
You know, the Israel kept going around, is the way I envision it, they kept going around circles more or less for 40 years, because it never should have took them that long, but they had to keep taking the same test. And some of us take the same test too long. He told the man with, at the pool of Bethesda, you've been in this situation 38 years. You've been in this situation, and he emphasizes a long time.
Right.
You've been in it too long. There's nothing wrong with you going through different tests, different challenges. As a matter of fact, he promises you that.
That's right.
They that live godly shall suffer persecution and many other afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivering in y'all. He promises you trials, stipulations, and issues, but you shouldn't go through the same one all the time.
And the answer, and the exact answer to exactly what you said was, his word says, how long will my grace abound?
Yeah.
See, you don't want to keep going through the same thing over and over again. He's not going to keep forgiving you for the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. He said, how long will my grace abound?
Yeah.
See, and y'all making great points, man. So I don't like getting real religious, man. But I mean, when it comes to stuff like that, whenever I feel as if I'm not being tested in some form or fashion, I know that I'm outside of the will of God. Trust me, because that means that I'm exactly doing what I'm saying. I'm on my and when Satan said I will ascend or arise above, he fell. We got to be mindful and careful of the eyes that we use, man, because we will fall.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when things happen, I mean, first thing we want to do, we want to say, take it away.
Yeah.
Take it away. And just confirming what y'all are saying, sometimes you got to stay in that test, man. You need to ask. Sometimes you ask the question, say, Lord, what do you want? Because there's been many times I say, Lord, man, I don't want to. Even when Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, he said, let this cup pass. You know, and sometimes we get into that test and we say, oh, please take it away. It's too much for me to bear. But we need to get to the point where we can say, what do you want me to see in this?
Because
the things, trust me, the things that affect you in life, those challenges that most challenging things that you're going to have in your life, those are the things that God's going to put right next to you, and he's going to have you to go through and deal with those situations and those issues, because once you've gone through those things, they will never bother you again. I don't care what it is. Once you've gone through, those same things will never affect you again.
Say it again.
Say that, man.
That is so true.
And you can't copy off somebody else's paper.
Meaning that T's
taking a different test than I'm taking.
Right. There you go.
So for me to copy off his test is not going to do me any good.
That's right.
His test is not my test.
That's right.
Yeah. I've got to focus on whatever it is that he's testing me in, and that's the test that I have to pass.
Right.
Not them. I got to focus on it, and I got to pass it, because if not, then I'm bound to repeat this class until I graduate, until I focus enough to where I'm passing the test. And it doesn't mean necessarily in my abilities, because they said, you know, I heard the scripture being quoted, the just man falls seven times and he gets back up, and I got that. But then also in Jude, you'll read over, and it says that now unto him who keeps you from falling. So the just man really shouldn't be falling.
That's right.
But of course, grace is there for when you do, you can get back up. But God says you should get to the point where you understand his ability to keep you from falling in the first place.
Right.
Kind of like Joseph. You take him, for example. Joseph fled. Now, she
Absolutely.
Was probably, this is a bad, it had to be a bad woman. I mean, she's more or less the queen of Egypt.
And she lied on him.
And she lied on him. But Joseph said, you know what, bad as you are, I got to get up out of here. I'm leaving my clothes and everything.
That brother left that designer shirt.
I'm leaving everything and I'm getting out of here. But, you know, that's, and Joseph passed that test.
Yes, sir.
He passed it. Now, you know, do all of us pass that test? You know, maybe not. Maybe, but, again, someone else's challenge is not necessarily your challenge.
And the main thing is in relationship, and exactly what we're talking about is as men who are heads of our household, 9 times out of 10, the people that we're going to that are going to be closest to us are the people that's going to rub us the wrong way, and the people that we're married to are the people that we're going to have struggle with, because it says a prophet doesn't even have honor in his own house. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So we got to be careful, man, because the people that are closest to you are the ones that are never give you the honor, man, because they going to always say to you, I remember how you used to be.
Right.
Because they knew you
right.
before.
And to bring it full circle with my brother, I don't know if he's still on the phone or not, Bino, you know, he's more flirtatious. That's why I do that question out to him. He's more flirtatious than I am. You know, I'm polite, but that ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm kind, that ain't got nothing to do with it. But he's more flirtatious than I am. Me, I'm more naive than anything. I don't even see when a woman's trying to flirt with me. I don't even catch it. I'm just slow. Matter of fact, when me and my wife got married, I had at least up 4 or 5 other women who were friends of mine who I didn't even know was interested into me until I told everybody that we were getting married. Then they were like, "Well, wait, hey, wait. Did you know, you know, how you going to do this?" And, I mean, they really came at me. I had no clue, and I've been friends with them for years. Had no clue. So, you know, bringing a full circle with the workplace and the temptations and things that are there, I mean, that's just the way the Lord protects me in that situation. Now, that might be someone else's. That might be more of someone else's challenge. Don't mean I don't notice that they're pretty well, but I'm not the aggressor. I'm not going to push up. So if I'm not going to push up, especially if I don't see any signs because I'm just blind to it, not by choice, it's just in my nature, that it doesn't, the workplace doesn't affect me at all. Well, not even just the workplace. I mean, unless the girl's going to be the aggressor, I'm not going to see it and I'm not going to act on it. But in other areas, you know, that's where I'm being tested, and I got to shore up who I am or allow God to shore me up in that area. But, you know, I'm hearing the brother saying, and I'm hearing some good points, very valid points. I'll give you another example, and this might be a kind of a curveball on it, but I got a call today. And it must have just been for the right day for it, since we were having this call. I got a call today. It shows up on my cell phone in an area code I have no idea about. I'm thinking it's maybe business related. So I answer it, and a female's voice on the other end says, "Hey, you know, how you doing? You know, happy belated New Year's to you. Happy belated birthdays to you." And my birthday's in August. So I'm saying, "Oh, okay, you know, hello, you know, man, who is this? I know you don't know who this is." "No, absolutely not." So she said, "This is Jennifer." I said, "Jennifer?" And I'm still not catching the voice because it had been years. It was a young a woman who I used to work with years ago. And I just so happened I've had the same phone number for probably, I don't know, almost as long as there's been cell phones out. So, and she had my phone number. I talked to her maybe, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago. She did call, and I was shocked that she had called out of the blue because it had been years before I had talked to her. For then, we said hi, bye, more or less. I hadn't talked to her again. And then so she just called me today. She moved to Georgia, so it was a Georgia number, and that's why I didn't recognize it. And she was like, "Yeah, I'm down here in Georgia," and blah, 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 blah. And she was fine. I mean, we used to hang out. We didn't do anything, any dating or whatever, but, you know. But she was fine, and I was interested, just never knew, again, the whole naive thing, never really knew if she was interested in me or not. And she called me today out the blue, and, of course, my mind, your mind immediately goes back when it dawns on you who it is. My mind immediately went back to those days. I have no idea what she looks like now. She could be 400 or 500 pounds. You know, she might not look like, but that's where my mind went. And I was like, whoa, okay, well, you know, hey, how you doing? But as quickly as my mind went there, my mind came back to the present. I'm a married man. I love my wife, love my kids. I heard the brother say, you know, I want my job, you know, things like that. So I'm thinking about those things. And I talked to her for a few minutes, and then, you know, I'll talk to you later. And she's like, yeah, well, you know, I'll talk to you later. But didn't lock her phone number in or anything like that. Now, will she call again in another 5 years? I don't know. But, you know, it's just interesting on how that happened the same time we're having this phone call. And, you know, we're talking about temptations at the workplace because she was then, I wasn't married then, though, but she was then, you know, very, I wasn't in a relationship, but she was very much a temptation at that point. But, you know, called out the blue and quickly took my mind back to however many years ago that was.
Wow.
I'm glad you mentioned that, man. It made me think about something. Just that just goes to show you how important it is to make sure you take care of home. How important it is you make sure when you leave out that door in the morning that everything is right between you and your wife. Because just imagine if you was at odds with your wife, y'all had a throwdown type argument. You would have got that phone, and somebody would have got a phone call like that. Ain't no telling where it would have been like you using your GPS to take you somewhere, and all of a sudden the battery went dead. You just hung out there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you knew right then. You recognized what it was because even though you was talking to her, in your mind somewhere you was thinking about your family.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And it's very easy. If she was here, I'm not saying me, but I could see where in a situation that if, you know, she was just here, say she was, you know, 10 minutes down the street, 20 minutes down the street or what have you, that could have, you know, I could easily turn into something. Who knows? I'm not saying me because, you know, that's just, it. Once my mind popped back into the present, I was like, okay, well, yeah, it was nice talking to you, and I hope, you know, I don't know if you got kids or your husband or whatever, I hope everything is good. Matter of fact, she did tell me she was, she's actually a lesbian now, and she has a partner. Maybe that's why they moved to Georgia. I don't know if that's legal or not down there, but.
So like that preacher at that hotel, trying to get that motel room up.
But all the more reason why you have to be focused, because you don't never know where that a temptation can come from or something could happen. You just never know, so you need to be shored up and like the brother just said, that household needs to be on the forefront of your mind.
Yep.
If it's not, you'll slip just that quick.
Uh-huh.
Yep. You'll find yourself, you know, a slip laying down on the canvas.
Well, I'd like to tell you is, if you did like I did one time and just read the Maryland Law website, found out how much a divorce costs.
People to keep it.
There's people to stay at home. Let me just go home and work this out.
I know that's right.
Yeah. And it happens to the best of us, man. None of us are exempt from it, man. I mean,
that's right.
We're not exempt from it, brother.
That's why we need each other.
That's right, man. Just when you think, and for me, man, you know, back to my example, I thought, you know, I had it together. You know, I was working with my wife when I got tested, working with her. She wasn't too far away. You know what I mean? And I still had to step outside and get a breath of fresh air and make a phone call. You know, and I knew I was good. I said, man, I'm straight, man. I ain't, you know, I can't nothing happen to me. I'm good. Woo. It was rough.
That's
it was all good. Inside of 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
Isn't it funny what a woman to do? You know, I just keep picturing. Yeah, I just look at the pictures over and over. Marion Barry.
Yeah.
Woman. Some of your biggest preachers. Unfortunately, one of my favorite ones, Paul Shepherd. I don't know what happened there, but the immoral said 9 out of 10 it was a woman. You know. So we got to be mindful. We know, like Patrice said, that that's a forbidden. When you're married, that's a forbidden fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how you look at it. It's a forbidden fruit. You can taste it if you want.
Yeah. And back to Peyton's question. I don't think it's wise for us to go out and look for the test. You know. Don't go look for that. You know what I mean? I mean, because
okay,
I think they want
your cell phone and stay in your room, man.
Yeah.
The race is
not won
to the swift or the battle to the strong.
Hey, who was that? Who was that in scripture that was with Jesus and he was casting out demons and the demon says, "Hey, we know him."
It was Paul.
But who are you?
That's Paul. Yeah, Paul.
So,
the son of Sceva.
Yeah. So, like you said, don't go looking for tests.
That's right.
You know, don't go looking for tests because you might run up on something.
Well, the bottom line is why you shouldn't look for a test is because you got enough of them coming at you.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean,
they're gonna come.
That's it. That's like the people
rest assured.
They were on the boat, right? And they were afraid because of the storm, right? And what they did was that they, you know, they woke Jesus up because they were afraid, right? Because of the storm. But when Jesus woke up, he said, "Peace be still," right?
Right.
He said, "Peace be still." Has anybody ever read anything in the word where he said, where he spoke to the wind and the wave, and he said, "Peace be still"?
Mm-hmm.
First thing he said was, "Peace be still," because he had to speak. He had to speak to what was in you, because the ruler of this earth, is Satan, and it's like this. He had to speak to what was in you, so he was talking about internally. Peace be still. You feel me? We all going to go through storms all the time. The storm was still raging all around us, but the peace that lives in us is what sustains it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. He spoke to peace. He didn't speak to the wind of the way. He spoke to peace.
Mm.
So I'm saying,
wow.
So we got to realize that storms of life are going to be around us every single solitary day, and we're going to go through.
Yep.
And I just want to say something too. I know I can tell some of the brothers on here. You know, they got a close relationship with the Lord, and those on here who don't have a relationship with the Lord and don't know the Lord. Just want to say, man, if you messed up, whatever, pick your head up.
Don't beat
yourself up, man. Pick your head up, shake the dust off, and look ahead for better days, man. Don't walk around defeated, because that's what Satan wants. He wants us to be a defeated foe, and we have to pick our head up and just keep on going. If God gives you the opportunity to see tomorrow, you got another chance. So keep your head up and don't beat yourself up, because when we all think about it, and if we look over our shoulder and look back from where we came from to where we are now, you know, we got a lot to be thankful for.
Oh yeah, isn't that the truth? So all they need to do is come to know God and establish that relationship and understand the walk that a lot of us are walking, and then you'll know how real it is, you know, to the ones who know, you know. And God is real, man.
And we ain't perfect.
You know that's
we make
right.
Mistakes. We make mistakes. We might get 360 degrees out of line, but God gives us a chance to get 360 degrees back in line. He always gives us the opportunity to get back in line. We can mess up tonight, and we can repent, and we can be right back in alignment tomorrow. Satan might try to beat us up and tell us about all the things we've done wrong. But God said, "I come that you might have life, and that you might have it abundant, more abundantly."
Oh, that's right.
Good words. Good word.
That's real. That's real. That's what people need to hear.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. For sure. And they will hear it on this call.
Don't want to be beat up.
Well,
you saying, hey,
don't
want to
be beat up, and at the same time, understand your part to play in the divine order that God has set for your life.
Right.
So that you're not just getting up and falling back down, getting up and falling back down, and getting up and falling back down. That's not necessarily his order. He's saying his grace allows for that, but not necessarily his order. His order wants us to be better. So we're not going over the same old thing time and time again. You know, once you graduate, move on to college. Don't go back to high school. I mean, you can't go back. In this natural life, we understand it, but in the spiritual life, we somehow don't understand it. We go back to drinking milk again, and it doesn't make sense. We should be eating meat. So, you know, just to encourage the brothers to work on your discipline, work on an area, one area, and get it together. You know, discipline yourself, and then continue to enlarge, or ask God to enlarge your territory, like the prayer of Jabez that probably everyone knows at this point, with the book being out. But that is the prayer of Jabez book, not mine. But that's something that's important for a new believer. It's important as a mature believer in Christ, is that you got to continue to work at this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Paul
says
you got to work out your own salvation.
No, that's right.
And
you can't just sit around saying, God save me, God save me, God, when God is saying, well, get up.
Right.
And the performance stop. You got to get up.
Yeah, sometimes nobody's going to be around to pat you on the back, man. So you got to encourage yourself.
Right. Take up your bed and walk.
You got to say, man, no matter how this thing looks, bro, I'm going to make it.
Right. Well, I mean,
I'm
going
to make it. You
got
to speak it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it.
You can't sit down and be still.
You can't sit down.
There
you
go.
You can't
you
pray and then sit down and be still and think something's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Right. When
you
those who reached out to Christ.
It's like looking for a job, you know. Let me go out here to monster.com and put my name out there. However, and sit back and say and wait 3 weeks and think I'm going to get an answer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're hungry for a job and you're hungry, God, you ask for that. God, give me, you know, show me the directions to find a job, and you got to go out there, and he's going to say, all right, this is the direction you need to go. This is what you need to do to get there.
And that is crucial. That is crucial, and that's being left out. And I know we probably went off on a whole different tangent, but that's crucial in the church that hasn't been taught, who has lost or been watered down within the church, and somehow we've crossed that and called it prosperity preaching, that you get up and you have to do something in order to obtain. But when God tells you, they told Joshua, keep my words in your mouth.
Meditate.
You make your own way prosperous and have good success. He constantly tells us, this is what you need to do. If you do this, this is what you're going to get out of it. What a man soweth, he shall also reap. God is not mocked. He tells you, if you do this, you're going to reap that. And for whatever reason, we don't grab hold of it. You look at the woman with the issue of blood who reached out to him, went through the crowd, pressed through the crowd. You see Bartimaeus, who decided to yell when everybody was telling him to shut up. You see the man, pool of Bethesda, who had a dialogue with Jesus, or as the old folks used to say, have a little talk with Jesus, it makes it all right. But at the same time, in all of those things, he was saying, take up your bed and walk. Get up. Who touched me? I mean, you have to do something. You can't just sit there and say, God, okay, make this okay. Just like the whole Haitian issue of saying, oh, God, I'm just going to pray that, you know, you do this or you do that. No, you got to do something. Participate. Give your $5, your $10, or whatever you can give. Pawn your jewelry. Do something. But don't sit there and think that God's just going to somehow raise dollars out of the ground and send over to Haiti.
And everything he said required action.
Right. Action.
Like
the proper
said.
Response to the word of God.
Yeah, it requires. Right.
If you do nothing,
you
won't
get
nothing happen.
Confess
you
in
nothing,
your mouth,
won't
believe
happen.
In your heart, and you shall be saved.
Or I'll steal a statement from Steve Harvey. It says, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you get.
Right. And
I'll tell you another thing. We got to stop keep taking the same things into our prayer closet with us. Certain things, man, shouldn't come into your prayer closet that came in on Monday. Don't bring it in on Friday. If you know you're trying to get some deliverance, stop bringing the same drama into your prayer closet.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And bring it,
you know what I mean?
Graduate from that.
Got to take a time out. Because, yeah. Again, we got to slow this down. Because
okay.
Prayer closet, what is that?
Prayer closet is a place. My prayer closet is the shower. And the reason why my prayer closet is a shower, because I know I got to go there every day.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
before
okay.
when
all
I
right.
yeah,
okay,
you,
now I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I got it now.
Exactly.
I got my prayers. I say my prayers every day when I'm backing out the garage. That's where I do it.
There you go.
There you go.
You're
quiet by yourself and nobody's around.
Well, my daughter's in the car. I'm taking her to daycare, but that's the only other person in the whip.
Exactly. And it's all good for me. If, you know, before, I wouldn't pray every day. That was one of my struggles. And I said, okay, what I need to do is I need to get to a place. It's just like taking medication. If you're going to brush your teeth, put your medication by your toothbrush. You know what, you're going to be there every day. You pray when you go take a shower. You say your prayer. Some people do it at night. For me, I do it the best way I can do it at that point. But that would be my prayer closet. Some people have 100 prayer closets throughout the day. I'm not there yet. But when I'm struggling with something, I would bring it with me to the point where I was like, man, I got to bring this back up in here again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be past this. You know what I'm saying? I'm supposed to have graduated
That's
from
right.
this drama.
That's right.
Because there's some new drama now. I got the new. I'm holding on to the old drama. I'm not even making room for the new drama that's going to come because I
right.
know it's coming.
And that's exactly. And that's what he tells the man to pull the Bethesda. You see that he was there for 38 long years. That's the way he puts it, emphasizing that God didn't put anything in the Bible by mistake or accident. He said he'd been there a long time. In other words, you've been in that situation way too long. You can't keep coming back over the same old spilt milk, so to speak, over and over and over again. At some point, you have to get up. So full circle, when you're talking about this, what the issue, if we're having that issue, if someone's having that issue at the workplace or wherever, you know, really at this stage of the game, if you're having that situation wherever that the temptations are too great or whatever, then you gotta deal with it. In other words, when you're praying, that's fine. You're praying, you know, God give you strength or whatever. And what God does is really just reveals to you what the Word says to encourage you to increase your faith. And and in doing so, now it's your part to have a proper response to the word that he just gave you. If he gives you a word that says, I'm more than a conqueror, that you're first and not last, that you're above and never beneath, that you're the lender and not the borrower, and so forth and so on. If he tells you these things, now he's done his part. He's given you the word, the seed. And then what you have to do then is apply that word to your life. If you don't apply the word, it's not that the word isn't any good. It isn't that it doesn't work and you need to find a new religion or you need to get a new pastor, a new church. It's the fact that you haven't applied it. It hasn't
right.
fallen on good ground. You haven't applied it. In other words, if you don't stop taking the numbers, if you don't stop buying the condoms and making the booty calls, then nothing's really going to take place. You got to stop. God's not taking you over to this woman's house and laying down and you having sex with her when you know you got a wife and kids at home. That's not God. God's not the one, you know, you got you making Google eyes at this girl and flirting and playing footsies and things like that. That's not God. God has given you the word. Now it's your job to take the word and apply. If you don't, it's not his fault.
Yeah.
He gives us free will. And the thing about it, what you're saying is that he said he hastens. We see it as word performing. You got to put him in remembrance. Mm-hmm. Put him in remembrance of his word. He's not a man that he should lie. If what he said he's going to do, he's going to do it. But he's by contract.
Mm-hmm.
By contract, his
mm-hmm.
word is like a contract. If you know his word, and you have, that's why you study his word. To put him in remembrance, say, Lord, but you said you honored marriage, and I want you to honor mine. You know,
wow.
Like you said, you know, I'm not the head, I'm the tail. That's what your word said, Lord.
Yeah.
You
right.
know, I'm not the tail. You know, I'm the head, not the tail. That's
right.
what your word said. So we have to put him in remembrance of his word, and when he see his word in action, and then that's when you see his word working.
Want to hear something interesting, man? I was listening to you guys talk, and somebody made a comment about touching the hem of the garment. And when you said that, it's just a whole simple revelation of God just came to my mind. All God wants us to do is to be like the woman with the issue of blood. He wants us to do whatever we have to do to touch the hem of his garment so he can cure us by infirmity.
Press
like,
on.
The old there was a song that one time said I don't remember the name of the song, somebody will probably know it when I say it, but one of the lines say you can reach me by caravan, cross the desert like an airman.
I don't care
how you get there, just get there if you can.
Yeah,
and that's how God is.
You know what I mean? He just wants you to touch whatever you have to do to touch to him so he can get. That's all he wants you to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes action, whatever action it takes you, whatever action it takes for you to get there, he just wants you to get there when you can, right?
That's it.
Right.
That's
wow.
it. If you gotta drop friends, drop friends. If you gotta move away into another city, move away to another city. I quit the job and start a business, then you do whatever you gotta do, you get to God.
And that's
somebody God don't really care.
Let's be honest, that's even sometimes removing yourself from family.
Sure.
Somebody asked me what was my relationship with God. Somebody asked me how was my relationship with God. And I told them my relationship with God was on the way. And they said, what you mean by it's on the way? I said, well, it's on the way because I know on the way I might stumble and fall, right? But as long as I get up, I haven't come to a completion yet. You know what I mean? So my relationship with him is on the way, man. That's how I look at it. You know, it's definitely on the way. Because we're going to go through regardless.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if you're not going, if you're not willing to not get that number or not entertain this additional relationship or what have you, if you're not willing to do that for God, then that should be chief. He's the preeminence. Yeah, he takes first place. If you're not willing to do that for him, your wife don't stand a chance.
That's true.
Right. Wow. Wow. That's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why you have so much divorce. That's why you have so much disconnect in the marriage.
So we said, God, you said you'd honor marriage. Well, then absolutely right. I honor marriage. What about you? That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
I honor your marriage, but do you honor your marriage?
Did I change not?
Right.
And you know something, man? Can I just throw something out here? There's something. My wife is very attractive to me. And to me, that's all that matters. She may be attractive some way, I don't care, but to me, she's attractive. But when I see her loving the Lord from the person that I met that didn't love the Lord, she didn't. But we went together at the same time. And now I look at her and I see the books that she reads. And I see how excited she is about when we got guest speakers coming to the church. And I see her relationship evolve with the Lord. And she is now so much more attractive to me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even more so than before. And I'm sitting here looking at her just amazed. Like, man, you know what I mean? You are beautiful at this point because you are loving something that I'm loving at the same time. And I don't have to be a different person. I can love the Lord and you can love the Lord, and we can sit down and talk about it at the same time. You know what I mean? And that's so, and to me, that's an achievement to me that I've brought this woman to know Christ.
Well, can I throw
and she went with me.
Can I throw up one thing?
Please do.
It's a total opposite for me, and I'm going to be totally honest with you. You know, my wife loved God and loved God with all her heart, man. And she's the one that would basically led me to him. But sometimes, man, she gets so heavenly bound, brother, she ain't no earthly good. Sometimes I said, baby,
wow.
I had to be careful because I thought you floated in the room. You know? Seriously. I'm being honest with you, man. Sometimes that could be a turnoff to me, man, you know. And I believe it or not, we went to a prophetic conference once and actually – The prophet that was there actually spoke the exact words that I said to her, that she is, she's just too spiritually bound.
Wow.
You know, because they can go there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
for sure.
It was
well, we can too.
It was the opposite effect for me. You know what I mean? So I do understand what you're saying, but it was the opposite for me, actually.
Yeah, I understand that. And look, and I hope it doesn't get to that point. I mean, look, again, none of us are exempt. You know, I hope it doesn't get to that point. Right now, today, she is spiritually attractive to me. Who knows what will happen next month, but I'm hoping that, you know, it remains this way.
But you know, that could be what we were talking about earlier. That could be your test.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And that was my test.
Yeah.
That was my test. And believe me, man, it was a strong test, brother, because, you know, that's her nature. That's who she is. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's how she served God. I just had to accept it. You know what I mean?
Right. And you know, like I said, I love Proverbs. You know, it says that a quiet response keeps away wrath.
Keeps away wrath. That's right.
So we want to make sure that, hey, you know, we learn how to be humble and let her do her thing. And we just have to learn to deal with it.
But the Proverbs also say you'd rather dwell on the rooftop than in the house of a nasty woman, right?
Man, it's too cold. Too cold to be on the roof. Now you will wait till summer.
It all depends on what part of the neck of the woods you're in right now.
No, oh, that's right. I just had to throw that in there.
Wow. Yeah, man, but you know what, man? Man, when we get on here and have this kind of call, it's priceless. Priceless.
No doubt.
Amen.
Priceless. You can't script it. You can't pre-plan it. There's none of that. You know what I mean? I can't say, well, y'all get on and say this, and you can't stage it. None of that. And this is what we need, man. Go ahead.
But no, I just wanted to say to Patrice, if you're still on the phone, it was a pleasure meeting you Sunday, man, at your church, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
I had a beautiful night, man. Had practice tonight with the boys. They had their best game last week, basketball, and left right over there. This is how God works, right? I walked into the gym and I saw the pastor in the secretary's office. So when I go in there and say, "Are we still on for the night? What do I need to do?" The first thing I see is he's wearing the exact same sweater I'm wearing, which is the exact same color shirt. And tonight was the night I became ordained as a deacon at our church.
Praise God.
Thank you. So it was just funny that here it is, I'm going to be ordained by the man who's wearing the same sweater as me.
That's cool.
And it was an excitement. The funny thing was my wife tried to get my mom and my sister and everybody up here to surprise me. But once she found out the ceremony wasn't going to be as long and as big as it was, she called him back, told him not to come. But, you know, to see them right there, right after practice, and right over there to see me get ordained, that was pretty cool for my night.
That's awesome.
That was why I was a little late, so I'm sorry about that.
And that just goes to show you, brothers, that what God has plan for your life. I don't care how you try to run from it, how you think you ain't ready. When he says it's time,
it's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time. Okay, you can run. You can run, duck, and give every excuse why you think you ain't ready for it. But when God says it's time, it's time.
All you got to do is show up.
Right. Yes, sir.
And, Patrice, I'm going to speak to your situation, because I kind of know it a little bit. And yours came from, I mean, you didn't even, and, you know, I tease you about it all the time. You haven't even signed up to be a member at the church, and yet you're a deacon. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? It's not about anything but commitment. And I love the word obedience, because I just keep running. But your faithfulness was illustrated. The fruits of your faithfulness was illustrated today. Because, again, you weren't a member, but you showed up and you did what you were the 20% of, you know, I'm sorry, it's the 80-20 rule in the church, 20% of the people do most of the work. Well, you were in that 20%, and they noticed.
You know what I mean? So I congratulate you, brother.
Thank you.
I congratulate you.
I appreciate it. It's an exciting day.
And I'm fortunate and blessed that that I get a chance to see this brother every day.
Yeah.
And like I told him, I'm a deacon at my church, and I tell people all the time that it's not about title, because if you understood what it really meant, and you understood that if Jesus washed feet for who he is, just imagine what you're supposed to do. It's about service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So it's about service. The higher you go, the lower you go. So mm-hmm. It ain't about title. And then, like I told Patrice, here come the test.
Well, the first test is when he first called me and said, man, I'm getting ready to be a deacon at the church. I said, that's great news. What is a deacon? He said, I don't know, but I'm going to show up and figure it out.
I had no idea at that time.
I had no idea what it was.
Hey, listen, I'm not even going to front. I told somebody tonight. They said, oh, you here to be ordained. I said, no, I'm just going to be a deacon. They said, that's
it. He's telling the truth, too. He's telling the truth. So look, you got to fill him in tomorrow at work, man.
This is unexpected to me. I just do things because, like, my story is pretty simple. My kids made me change my life around. Because I was ready to walk away from my marriage a couple years ago. I mean, about 4 years ago. I was ready to walk. My wife and I, we weren't getting along. We were constantly having arguments. We weren't seeing eye to eye. And the first step is that we went to counseling. And then the next week, right after counseling, my daughter, we had just moved up here. We just bought a house. And my daughter said, I want to go to church, Daddy. And we said, my wife worked with one of the church members that's in the choir. And so we went to daycare, and she wanted to go to church. So we went to church. And then at church, somebody came up and asked me if they needed help at Royal Rangers. Next thing you know, I was helping out at Royal Rangers, and now I'm second in command in the Royal Rangers. You know, they already talking about making me director next year. And then somebody came to me and said, hey, I need some help with somebody helping out at Sunday school that Rodney's by himself. So I said, yeah, I do it. I love teaching kids. So then I become, you know, a Sunday school teacher where I alternate with Rodney. And another deacon, John, who's been on this call a couple of times, doing Sunday school. And then I was asked, my boy wanted to play basketball, then I was asked to coach a team. And when the upper basketball league, you know, you teach these kids, and then also you have to take out 30 minutes to present Jesus Christ to them. So I guess, and then it just, you know, then they just kept coming and coming and asking me. And then all of a sudden in November, I get a letter in the mail saying that the pastor of the church has saw all the work that I've done and he thinks I should be a deacon of the church. So when I asked today, I said, well, are they going to, what do I have to do? Do I have to stand up and say something before they? He says, no, you're already a deacon. I'm just presenting you to the board.
Wow.
I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
So, you know, and it wasn't like I was trying to do it. I wasn't trying to show off. I wasn't trying to. And Jerome tell you at work, I'm the exact same way at work. I don't try to show off. All I try to do is present an organized group to the folks. Because Jerome works for me. And the funny thing is I'm younger than Jerome. He's an older individual, but he respects me as a man, and he respects my job.
So I keep my job.
But But he still gives you that spiritual guidance, because that's what you told me. You said he still gives you that spiritual guidance.
He still gives me that spiritual guidance every single day when some things get a little stressful or tough, and there's people there that, you know, can get that hold to, you know.
Yes.
Be humble. So.
I will tell you, I am, like I was saying before, I've been self-employed for 5 years, so I basically worked from home. And within that time, I got saved, and everything was changed. And when you're working from home and you're not out in the world, so to speak, you're somewhat safer, let's say, from everything else. And I just recently, within the last past month, went back to work, a regular employment job, and I'm six or seven feet and right back in it. You know what I mean? And the things that I used to be able to take is difficult for me now. The language, the content of the conversations, the all those things that used to be a part of my makeup is no longer. So now I'm trying to get back into, you know, dealing with it as this new man. You know, and that by itself is a test. And that's a very difficult test, because you don't want to come across as some holy cat. You know what I'm saying? You still want to fit in, you know. You don't want to be isolated, but you still have to stand your ground. And you still have to, you know, remain the person that you are to the Lord. You know, so that's what, so y'all just pray for me. But, you know, and I know I'm going to defeat it. But I understand now, you know, why the Lord took me out of it, out of the world, and now brought me back in. He took me out long enough to build me up so when I can go, and now I can start planting seeds. And right, and trust me, it's rough. You know, some of these people I'm talking to at the workplace, man, they don't have a clue.
You know, I want to say something to you. You know, when God made you on the assembly line, he put everything you ever needed in you when he created you. You just got to get it out.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we don't have to walk around with a Bible under our arm big as a piece of Samsonite luggage.
Yep.
You know, you live your life as a reflection of the word, because sooner or later somebody's going to come up to you, just like I tell Patrice all the time. You know, man, they're going to try you this and that, but hold on, stay humble. Because peeps, you never know who's looking at you. And there's some people, once they know that you are saved and you know the word, they want to flick your fuse. But then there's always somebody looking back in the background saying, man, I like the way that he handles that situation. And I want some of what he got. You know, when things get rough, when people start blowing up, how come this brother here, he ain't, you know, he's like ever ready. He just keeps on ticking, you know.
That's
keeps on going. I want to find out, you know, what it is with him that keeps him centered, keeps him balanced, and this and that. And your situation while you was home, yeah, right. God took you out of that situation because that was a comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's putting you somewhere, like we talked about these tests, where he says, hey, I'm now going to get you to the point where you can deal, so I can teach you, so you can learn how to deal with difficult people, because I got something for you down the road.
Yeah, I believe it. And I believe that every move
mm-hmm.
that I make, or every move that we make as Christians, is calculated.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's calculated. Every move, you know, there's a reason for each move that we make.
Pre-dust.
And when I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, now which one is it? Is it the brother to the left of me, or is it the brother to the right of me? Is it the brother in back of me? Which one is it? Because I know I got to talk to one of them. I know at some point there's something that I have to say to either one of these people that my existence for being there. Because you wouldn't have put me there if you didn't have something for me to do.
That's right.
In that spot.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So my thing is now, when is the right time? And all day, that's what I think about, all day. When is the right time to plant this seed? You know, because I guess that's my job now. I got another job to go make money, but I think we also have a job to plant seeds along the way and bring brothers to Christ. You know,
right.
And right now I'm just figuring out when this calculated decision going to come to the forefront, and when am I going to be able to make my move?
Yeah.
Patrice, every day, they laugh. Some people look at Patrice and they probably say, oh, man, what's up? Patrice comes in. He goes to folks and says, hey, man, I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you. And this and that. But they don't realize in doing that, he's throwing seed.
Yeah.
Because one thing, like I always tell people, and I tell my kids all the time, folks don't have to be nice to you. It ain't a prerequisite, especially in the workplace.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
It ain't a prerequisite. So those times when you tell folks thank you and you appreciate what, you know, what they're doing and this and that kind of stuff, you never know when that bit of kindness may come back to you down the road.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Right.
At the workplace is give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and give unto God what is God's, right?
Right.
Because when you're in a workplace, you're working for Caesar, man. And at a time, you'll be able to get under God with God. When that time is revealed to you, you'll know it.
God, he'll
open that door. He'll open that door. He said he opened the door that no man can shut.
That's right.
You know, just give him time, and he'll get that door open. That door. He'll put you where he wants you to be.
It's called the key of David. Whatever door he opens, no man can close. Whatever door closes, no man can open.
All I got to do is show up.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's like Patrice. Right. All you got to do is show up.
That's right.
Be available.
Be available.
It's like every Tuesday. We going to show up.
Yeah.
Whether it's one person on the phone or 500.
That's right.
It's going to be a phone call.
But you know, Patrice, tomorrow, Patrice, I mean, you got to sit down and talk. Because you got to tell me about that apple. I had to put that in to make folks laugh, man.
and just like the Tuesday call, we show up really to give God glory. And in everything, Paul says that in everything, we got to do it unto the glory of God anyhow. And we get up Tuesday. We don't necessarily have to get on here and preach sermons and quote the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we getting on here talking about being the men that God called us to be, holding down our households, and at the same time building up our households. That in itself glorifies God. Because that's the way that's God's divine order, and that's the way he put this world into existence, really. He set that into motion with us being the head of the house. And so, therefore, that glorifies God. And everything we do, we got to glorify God. Whether you got your own business, don't matter what it is. Don't matter how much money you make or how less money you make. Anything that you do ought to be centered in birth out of God. So with that being said, and I guess coming around full circle to that workplace, when you see someone, a good-looking woman or what have you, if your first instinct isn't to look at her from what God intended, then your second ought to be. If you know what I mean, you can look at it and you say, "Wow, you know that's a fine woman," and you know how we start doing the Superman thing, we got the X-ray vision, and we start going off into tangent. As long as you entertain those thoughts, obviously, it's going to eventually produce sin, and sin, you know, in this ladder is going to produce death. So we can't allow it to increase. Thoughts are going to come, but we got to learn how to just block and put on that helmet of salvation and block them out. And when you get to a certain point, you start looking at things. Not that you don't notice the legs, and I'm not saying that. I'm not gonna try to get all super holy on anybody. But you can get to a point where when you look at someone, you can say, "I want to know why this person is in my life or in my lane at this point. Am I there to minister to this person, or are they brought into my life to minister a word to me?" I think we can alleviate the question, is this person to be my wife?
Yeah.
Is this person to be my lover? I think we can exclude, is this my booty call? I think we can exclude all of these things.
And at least we should in our first spot. So we shouldn't be doing the x-ray vision, and we shouldn't be doing those other things. And I grant it, I know some brothers are saying, like, come on, brother, how can you not? That's going to be a discipline thing. And if you're there right now, it's not impossible. You just got to keep working at it. Obedience and being disciplined at it. And you start realizing, because everything's done to the glory of God, everything's a ministry, and you got to look at it as such and say, why is this person here? Is it a test for me? Am I to minister a word to this woman? Maybe she's a single mother. She's going through things that you don't recognize because we're on the job and everyone's acting professional. Is that she's a woman of God and she really got a word for me to grab hold of to encourage me through this day, through this week, through this year? And are we just for a season to be friends? Can we be friends for, you know, is it a long-term relationship? Long-term relationship, I mean just being friends. But, you know, all these things really you have to kind of get answers for from God so that you're not misdirected and you're letting your bottom parts, so to speak, middle parts, bottom parts, whatever you want to say, directing your path and saying,
you know,
this is why this person's in my life looking that good.
To handle some of these situations
mm-hmm.
is, like, I might go into in the office with a female, and they say, oh, you your tie, you got a great tie on. I say, oh, yeah, my wife put out my clothes for me. You know, I always bring my wife into the conversation.
Yeah, you'll get a feel for them real quick that way.
Or, you know, that's my out, is I bring up my wife in the conversation. Oh, yeah, she picked out all my clothes for me. I have them and everything. All I do is just put them up.
There you go. Whatever works.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
I'm not lying.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
I don't dress myself. My wife dresses me.
But,
and I'm I'm proud to put that out there.
Some men aren't going to say that their wife dressed them, just like some kids ain't going to say their mother dressed them. They would not, you know. So, I mean, whatever works.
But and it works, and it shuts it down.
Yeah. Right, and you don't know who else is watching. This is why I say it's a ministry, because you sitting around in one breath talking about, you know, church and talking about Bible study and things that you know you're into and how your life has been changed and saved and so forth and so on, and then in the next breath, the same people that you were talking to see you, walking around the corner and then backing up to see, you know, the butt of some woman that's walking in the other direction. So you really got to watch, because the life itself is a ministry, not just your words or your sermons or your songs or whatever, but your life itself is a sermon, and you can really mess someone up by doing something like that.
Yeah, that's why I said you don't have to carry a Bible big as a piece of Samsonite luggage, that people look at you. And the way that you carry, and a lot of times you don't have to say nothing. The only thing you need to be doing what you're supposed to do. And somebody's going to say, "Hey, I see those guys over there. They doing this. They doing that." I said, "But you steadfast. You always focus." I said, "You know, you speak to people. You treat everybody. You don't treat nobody. Everybody the same. Everybody, you're decent. You're respectable to them. You know." I just want to sit down and talk to you." And then here it is, your opportunity right there. God has opened the door for you to witness. And what the brother was saying, you go down the hall and you peek back around the corner because sister got the dress got a little too short, and you're looking, and somebody see you say, "Oh, so you done killed your witness."
Yeah.
That's one thing. That's one thing we don't want to do. You know. And then, and like I said, when people do find out that you know the Lord, you know, they look at you with a fine-tooth comb because they say, "Hey, man, we're gonna make this. They're gonna do what they can to try to push your button and make you blow up." But like I said, you know, just you know, it's the God in you, man. That's it. And if it looks like it gets to that point where things get ready to cut loose, you do that. You always say you back up 5-10 yards and punt. You just hold your breath. And just say, just start praising God and say, "Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you're about to do.
It's a discipline action, because many brothers, I ain't going to say all of us, but many brothers I mean, obviously we notice fine when we see fine, but yeah. And then some say, well, you know, well, hey, it's impossible. I don't want to hear you acting all super spiritual, whatever. That you can't. It's impossible to do what you're saying you can do, and it's not. It's a discipline thing. Whereas it's as simple as when you're talking to the woman, who you know is fine, look her in the eye. It can be that simple. You know, practice looking her in the eye instead of, you know, looking down, you know, trying to get a quick glimpse while you're sitting there talking to her, looking at her chest or you know, if she's sitting down and you standing up looking at her legs or something like that, look her in the eye.
Sometimes you just plain on got to run.
Sometimes you got to run, but it's like me. I agree, but it's in some cases on the work field, and some of you brothers, I'm sure, are like myself, maybe in a position of supervising or managing or something like that, and you can't run from your employee. You're going to have to deal with them directly. and they might be in your office, and it might be on a one-on-one with a door shut. But, you know, sometimes you just got to deal with it. It's just a matter of just looking them in the eye, of catching yourself, putting it in your mind. Don't turn around. Don't turn around. Take a quick glance. Mm-hmm. And you know, okay, first time you do it, second time you do it, whatever. But hopefully, you're trying to work with your prayers, not countering your prayers. For instance, sometimes when we're praying, we pray, say, you know, God, you know, take away this sugar diabetes. You know, I do hear people pray this way. You know, take away this sugar diabetes, and I'm tired of having this type of weight. But at the same time, they stuffing Twinkies in their mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got to use some common sense. You got to do something, too. So we're praying, saying, hey, Lord, you know, help us with this situation that we're in. And so when the thought comes into your head to turn around, you got to counter that and say, don't turn around. Don't just keep on walking. Think of something else. Think of your wife or something of that nature. And after a while, it becomes first nature or second nature, some people say. But it becomes that way. And you're not looking around the corner. You're not going to back up. You're not going to look at their chest while you're talking to them. And it becomes just a part of who you are.
One day at a time.
Absolutely.
Good words. Wow.
And before people are telling you, you know, hey, well, stop being so super holy. You know, people can't do that. That's just a part of a man. And you can say, hey, one day at a time.
One day at a time.
Yeah.
Good words.
And just piggybacking on what you're saying, some people think because you live a life for Christ that there's certain things that you can't do.
Yeah.
And we know that there's certain things that are decent and in order.
Yeah.
But I used to talk to people that say, oh man, I wanna join this church, but they say, man, I can't play ball, I can't do this, I can't do that. You know, God allows us to be in all kinds of situations because we never know who we may witness to. There's no one specific type person that we should witness to and tell them about the goodness of Christ. So He puts us in all types of situations.
Yep.
Anyway, brothers, yep. God bless y'all. I got a wife upstairs. I told her I ain't been on this call in a while. I wanted to get on here with y'all.
I enjoyed
y'all. Y'all be blessed. And like I said, the brothers, if you feel that you've done something wrong or whatever, don't beat yourself up, man. If let it be told, we've all done something. We've all fell short. So, you know, pick yourself up, man. Dust yourself off and get back in the race.
Don't be a stranger, man. We'd like to hear your voice, man.
Amen. God bless y'all. I see you tomorrow, Patrice.
Hey, I see. I got set up tomorrow, man. They put me in a meeting and then go send me the itinerary tonight.
You know what?
I'll be up all night reading this.
Always remember, man. You know, he's well able.
Oh yeah.
He is. Just always remember, man. He is able. He'll make a way.
Yeah.
So,
fellas. On that note, fellas, it's been a great call, as usual.
Absolutely.
Great call. We don't even have to do an open mic or anything. We can just shut it down. It's been a good call. Rodney kind of told me what the topic is, but I don't have it off the top of my head for next week. But please invite someone, anybody that you know that might, you know, benefit from this. We all know about 25 people that will definitely benefit from this. I know we can't reach them all at once, but, you know, let them know that we are doing this. We've been doing it for a while. In 2010, we're going to get real serious with this head of household, because 2009 proved that there's definitely a need.
There's definitely a need.
Definitely a need for us to be, you know, just to be accessible to one another and be able to, you know, have conversations like the one we had tonight. You know, it's always a beautiful thing when you can quote scripture on a in a forum like this. Always, always a good thing. So, again, thank you all for coming on, and we will shut it down right about now.
All right.
Okay, later.
Oh, call me if you got
all right.
It.